There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
And play this for you.
This is exactly where we aren't going in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if you listen to the lyrics of it, it is right on point.
Yeah. And the truth. Well, you know, it's happening both internationally with this sort of the clear split now. That's the Ukrainian war has made it very obvious, but there is this growing divide between the Western countries and the Western view of democracy and how countries should
you
be.
You know what I forgot? We have to come back in. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy is really talking about where we really are. And the time and the place and what's really at stake in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of, I told you I had this epiphany when I was driving out here. I sort of tried to visualize historians 50 years from now looking back at, and, you know, they're obviously in a situation where they understood what happened from what's going on now. But thinking about one of the possibilities of what could happen, which is essentially a reorientation of both the world and of our country. And there are many people talking about the reorientation of our country, essentially a fragmentation of it into parts. The people talk about the civil or revolutionary war, whichever people want to call it, that might happen after the 2024 election. So we're even talking about this in a time horizon that's only about 2 years away. But there's something going on, and I realize now that it's much more than just this debate between conservatives and liberals, and everyone has understood that it's a little more than that because our society has become so polarized over conservative versus liberal. But that debate about conservative versus liberal has transformed itself into states talking about secession, you know, Texas, California, various places. And then we have the Supreme Court, which is very worried now. We've talked about it. The Federalist Society talked about it for quite a long time, about the administrative state. Well, the administrative state, well, that's like the regulations, the regulatory agencies of the federal government. But when people today and when the Supreme Court writes about the administrative state, they're basically talking about the federal government. And this, there is this direct attack on the federal government, trying to chip away at any of its powers or all of its powers, and to try to return everything back to the states. That's the Roe v. Wade reversal decision, right, in a nutshell. And so what does that mean? What could happen from that?
Well, you know, Sandy, what it makes me think about is, let me see if I have this right. We continue to spend $800 or $900 billion a year to defend ourselves from somebody from outside, right? That we think is coming. And yet inside, we're talking about what's going to cause more destruction than what anything from outside.
Yeah, the fragmentation of America is not going to be caused by anything outside of America. It's going to be inside. And incidentally, if we fragment, which of those states is going to decide to undertake their portion of the $800 billion we spend on defense? I mean, that this huge importance that we place on our defense will disappear in the circumstance of our country fragmenting down. And what the conservatives seem to be chasing is a breakdown and the formation of something that would be less cohesive probably than the European Union between the states which are currently America. So my view of the conservative chase right now for whatever they're chasing, I was saying off the air, it's like dog chasing car. And, you know, they want to see the federal government disappear. They want to have states operating independently. Okay, what are the implications of that? Well, the defense industry might be pretty worried about that outcome, because what do they do? Who do they lobby? And which of those states is going to undertake their full share of the $800 billion? So that's a big change right there. But the main thing is that it's a bit like the Roe v. Wade pursuit. When dog catches car, it's a different story.
You know, Sandy, if you start beginning to think it through, and the states get their way, you know, health care.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean,
all the things the federal government bellies up to the bar to do would be now the state's obligation, and it gets a lot more difficult and a lot more complicated. And there's a serious reason why the Federalists won the dispute at the time of our founders. You know, we started out with the Articles of Confederation, which looked a lot like the European Union, and we ended up with the Constitution, which created a federal government that had overriding powers.
You know, Sandy, one of the horrific thoughts about all of this is that we kind of saw this vision developing in Republicans over the last 20 years. And you saw it coming bit by bit. And it was dismissed. They were so persistent. They continued. They knew what they wanted. And now, whether people want to believe it or not, we're on a precipice where this could possibly happen.
And
right?
And incidentally, at this very same time, when our democracy is sort of suspect from an internal perspective, and we've got one another wanting to change things dramatically from what it is. We've got people hating one another because of the disagreements they have about our government. At this very time, we're trying to export our version of democracy to the rest of the world and persuade them that this is the way they all ought to live. We go to China and want to criticize the Chinese approach to their government, and we have a government here which is, now granted, we all have the right to say what we want to say about this government. That's a virtue, and it's an extreme virtue. But we also have a situation which many people, look at and realize is getting increasingly fragile, and we have a society which is not comfortable with itself.
So the representative government that we tout all over the world as the greatest example of government,
right?
How's that working for us?
Yeah, how's that working? And we find out that parliamentary governments, as much as they seem to air their dirty linen in public all the time between all their various parties, these parliamentary countries seem quite stable. You were reading off the record about Italy's government being on the brink of collapse. Well, they're talking about the parliamentary government being on the brink of collapse.
Right.
They're not talking about Italy itself being on the brink of collapse.
Right.
In America, we're writing about America essentially being on the brink of collapse. I mean, a lot of people don't want to look at it that way, but increasingly we have the Wall Street Journal, we have the Financial Times from outside the country, we have all of the different political perspectives looking at America, worrying about what happens after 2024.
You know, Sandy, it is more than frightening. And people should be frightened because just based on what's going to happen, let's say the Republicans take back over the Congress, which is a safe bet now.
Well, and the Supreme Court, with their view of the administrative state, let's just say that they continue to attack and to erode the powers of the federal government. You know, it is true that the New Deal, the Supreme Court that empowered the New Deal. There were plenty of Supreme Court decisions that expanded the view of the federal power of the government, okay? So there's no question that the ultimate outgrowth of the New Deal was an expanded view of the powers of the federal government. Now we've had this long-term conservative movement aimed at chipping away at that. Now they're not chipping away at it. They're using blocks of dynamite.
So hang on the line. We'll come to you after the break. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You, too, can join the conversation as Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.